And I'm going to get up here and tell you to be less quiet. Let's give it up for Kevin and Brandon again. All right. So our next two poets are Morgan Parker and Claudia Wilson. I know. Morgan Parker's reputation probably precedes her, but we're going to do this up proper anyway. Morgan Parker is a Pushcart Prize-winning poet, novelist, and nonfiction writer. Her publications include There Are More Beautiful Things Than Beyoncé, and more recently, the poetry collection Magical Negro, and the young adult novel Who Put This Song On? Claudia Wilson is a poet, instructor, and social worker who lives and plays in Amherst. They have featured at various venues in Ohio and Boston, such as Writer's Block, Fenzenda? Queer Reading, and The Oberon. Wilson's present work in progress centers embodiment, familial relationships, blackness and living in the woods, and WWF wrestlers from the mid-80s. Just let that sit there for a moment. Their chapbook, Grown, is about Wilson's time in foster care. That's the one available in the back. They study poetry at UMass Amherst. Let's get a little loud and let Morgan and Claudia know we're super pumped to have them here tonight.
Let's just, like, make it child size. Cool. Someone earlier was like, do people think you're taller than you are? And it's true, I'm like 1 inch away from having handicap parking, but I have tall person energy. Not camp counselor, but I have a tall personality. Cool, thank you so much for having me. It's like scary and exciting to read with these folks and to see all of y'all. Like, there's tons of you and you're like pretty good looking, so thank you. Cool. I think I'm gonna I'm like trying to be aware of my time, so I'm gonna start with the long one. Sorry, you'll be fine. But like that way, I know I'm not cutting into, you know, the wrestling. Was that what it was? I'm thrilled about it. Whatever it is. Cool. This poem's called Matt. For all intents and purposes, and because the rule applies more often than it doesn't, every white man or boy who has entered and fallen away from my particular moderate life has been called Matt. Not Dan, rarely Ben, never Matthew. Matt smokes unfiltered Pall Malls because Kurt Vonnegut did. We talk on MySpace because he goes to a different high school. Matt's in love with someone else, but I can tell he's still interested in me. Matt and his girlfriend aren't really together. Matt doesn't have a condom, so we can't. Matt also doesn't have a condom, so we can't. Matt loves Modest Mouse. Matt loves Kanye. He loves whiskey. He brings a flask to the park. He tells me I'm beautiful. He likes me. He follows me into the bathroom where I once found a bag of Coke. I tip sideways onto the tile, trying to steady myself on top of him, while his legs are spread on the toilet lid. I say, what about you and Anna? He says, hold your ankles. I made Matt a really good mix CD. Matt's writing a novel. Matt's also writing a novel. Matt says I'm a really good kisser. My friends say I'm too good for Matt. Matt loves his mom. Matt's moving to California. Matt's moving to Berlin. Matt's quitting smoking again. Matt rolls his own cigarettes. Matt has depression. He listens to sad songs. Matt wants a big family. He seems like he would be a good dad. His family is so white. His favorite novelists are white. His ex-girlfriends are white. He said he would call me. His ex-girlfriends are really skinny. He has this thing where he seems like he doesn't care about anything. Matt's in love with someone else. He thought I was way older than him. He got a new tattoo. He has bad dreams. I miss him. He loves foreign movies. He's stoned all the time. He pulls me into another room. He has a beard, and he also has a beard. He kisses me in the other room. He loves my dog. He flirts with me all the time, I think just for fun. Oh, Matt. He knows he's a white man, but doesn't think of himself as a white man. He doesn't know what to do with his life. He floats. He is young. He can afford to be cool. He wears a lot of flannel. We're just friends. He's nervous about commitment. He's nervous in the elevator when he touches the small of my back. He's nervous on the roof. I'm nervous taking his hand because people can see us. His roommate walks in on us and then gives us shots of gin we all sip in silence. After that, we smoke on his fire escape and make out. We smoke in front of the bar and make out. We make out on an empty subway train and my back slips around on the hard plastic seat. He pays for my brunch. He texts me all the time, even at the airport. He's breaking up with his girlfriend. He and his friends are drunk in someone's apartment in Queens. What am I up to? He hates his job, but he's totally a genius. He lost his phone, so he has a new number. He hates his job, and what he really wants to do is make art and be happy. He needs to live abroad for a while. He used to be really dumb. He swats his hair from his forehead and says, of course he'll call. I always ask, but I'm going to stop asking. I'm nervous he doesn't understand. He didn't grow up with many black people. He knows he is part of the problem. He just believes in love and knowledge. Matt. Each one more beautiful than the last. Each one with more intricate ennui. I could never love him. He floats. I can't stop loving him. Matt knows the bartender. Matt studied comparative literature. He still loves his ex, I just know it. He says, I like talking to you. He says, watch your head as I ride him in his dorm room bunk bed. He's so sorry he didn't call. It's just that things have been busy and weird. Matt and I sneak out of a movie to hook up in his car. He is afraid of me. Matt and I are hanging out this week, I think, to watch movies or something, I guess maybe. He's never met anyone like me. Things are just super casual with us. Neither of us is looking for a relationship. Matt loves relationships. He slept with my friend. I can't tell if he's into me because I'm black or because I'm not that black. And either way, I feel bad. I feel it in my stomach's basement. Matt can't want me. I am not forever. Matt has kissed me hundreds of times, and he kissed my ancestors, too. He held them down and kissed them real good. He was young, and he could afford it. When he touched them, they always smiled, almost as if it had been rehearsed. Okay. Thank you. And, like, I was going to say sorry, but, like, I don't feel sorry at all. So, yeah. Fun poem to read, especially at colleges. Get a lot of weird, like, comments after. Mostly, they're just like, my name is Matt. And I'm like, this is a Q&A. Like, I don't know what. I don't know what to tell you, buddy. I, too, like Modest Mouse. Okay, like, I don't know what's happening here. I can't help you. But it's mostly women being like, I just sent this to the group chat. And it's, like, amazing. cool. I'm like, how sad shall we go? Okay. I'm going to Chicago tomorrow. Kevin loves Chicago. Etc. So I started writing this poem in Chicago after visiting the Wall of Respect situation. It was cool. The High Priestess of Soul's Sunday morning visit to the Wall of Respect. The Impressionism wing strikes me as too dainty for my mood, except for one oil painting by Gustave Caillebotte, Calf's Head and Ox Tongue, which is described in the wall text as visually unpleasant. A bust of an African woman bums me out. This year, I cried at everyone's kitchen table. I spit on the street and was late on purpose and stepped in glass and my dog died and I saw minuses over and over. I'll figure it out. I let a man walk away and then another one. It has taken me exactly this long to realize I could have done something else. I'm being repetitive now, but do you ever hate yourself? It's been a really fun tour. You know, just like city after city, like, I want to die. It's cool. It's totally excellent. So this book is called Magical Negro, and throughout I have these, like, various magical Negroes. Not your necessarily traditional ones, but my kind of, like, guides through the world and who I think are magical Negroes. It's, like, highly specific. And I always say I'm going to, like, have a projection of this image, but really, you should, like, look it up. Like, I won't think you're texting. And actually, if you're trying, like, who cares? But you should look up this image because it's, like, the most glamorous shit I've ever seen in my entire life. Magical Negro number 217, Diana Ross finishing a rib in Alabama, 1990s. I mean. What? She is walking down the street. Let me just tell you about this. She's walking down the street in like a, I know, right? Silk negligee and a fur and just eating a rib. Like, it's amazing. It's amazing. That's pure glamour. Fucking magic. Magical Negro number 217, Diana Ross, finishing a rib in Alabama in 1990s. Since I thought I'd be dead by now, everything I do is fucking perfect. Walking wreck, reckless, and men, I suck their bones until they're perfect. I don't sleep with accolades. I don't get touched in the night. All men do is cry and ask me to be their mama. I can't get a decent fuck to save my... When I think about their feelings, I don't care. It's cool, it's cool. Come to mama. There is so much death here. She is casual and almost fragrant. Like, the word kill doesn't sound as bad as it is. All my friends are sisters and husbands. I'm afraid to be uncharted. I want an empire in my teeth, but I can't be bothered to wear anything but silk. I have grown up less mysterious than my myth. All men do is think I'm looking at them. When I think about them tasting me, don't Google my tits when you can just, unfortunately, I have a body and I'm the only one in charge of it. You know what? I eat the bones too. I'm in the world. Nobody cares where I came from. I'm just, like, gonna be this man-hating person today, I guess. This poem doesn't have Boston in it, but I'll add Boston in. This poem called Whites Only. It's too late to live on a farm or in the Hamptons or in Portland or in Brooklyn or in Oakland or in Boston or in the South. I guess you'll never fill me with blissful children and pie and entitlement. Where we remark with glass eyelids how the colors in the wheat remind us of pictures of plantations and how that makes us want. And when I say too late, I mean we are always missing something. I guess the money or the sound sleep of new animals who don't yet understand what it feels like to hold a piece of your body and know it is the reason for everything. Why some window views aren't yours. And some have the memory of fire hoses on brick, and you do not belong. And it has been too late since this, the first Atlantic baptism, growling back, or a quiet, guiltless bed. I guess this floral pattern is not where I belong. I guess the radios stay on all night, and we are syrupy in our black. I guess this is a love poem, another dream of what I'm not. I guess there's no difference between a country and a man. Recently, I, like, met someone, and they were like, do people just, like, ask you out after this after you give readings. I was like, ah, like imagine, like literally the opposite of that. You know, like people just like delete my number immediately. Cool. I have like whatever. I don't even know what that translates to in Morgan Parker. But cool. So yeah, when I wrote this book called Magical Negro, and I had these like series of Magical Negroes, I had the different numbers, and so at some point I was like, I have to figure out like what is Magical Negro number one. Magical Negro number one, Jesus Christ. It's like best I could come up with. They make his eyes that color so he can seduce you. Literally every white boyfriend, tender until they're not. Y'all know that nigger was a nigger. Y'all know those whores were whores. Sometimes I go to the sink for water and I come back with a jar full of wine. Every second I breathe, I forgive. Thank you.
This is so weird. It's just weird. It's like I'm in this room and all these people are here because of poetry. But I'm excited about that too. And I think it's weird because it's like a furniture store. And and I'm looking back and people are like sitting on couches and, you know, it's just really, it's fun and weird at the same time. Kind of giving you my context, I don't usually do this, but I just finished the book There by Tommy Orange. And I have all these emotions, good and horrible and scary inside me. So that's kind of what's coming out. So this chapbook is about my time in foster care. And the first poem that I'm going to read is called Playing House. My foster sister gets back from work. I am the wife and she is the husband. How was work? I say. I cook dinner with a comb and torn stockings. I make her cake. The room is quiet and still like a church taking communion. And she says, with an attitude, I can't eat no damn cake for dinner. I say, Keisha, you just had a fucking popsicle for breakfast and now your stupid ass can't eat no cake? I was smoking a pretend cigarette. She says she drove the school bus that morning to drop those badass kids off. And we laugh because those kids are bad as hell. One day someone set someone's weave on fire and whoosh. It wasn't me, but I got the hell out the way. My husband wants pork chops and mashed potatoes for dinner. I stub out my cool cigarette and pout. She says, come lay next to me. I do. I put my head on her breast. Her heart sounds like the lullabies of lost families. My foster mother busts open the door with a real smoke in her mouth, yells, bull dagger. I try to piece her words together. Bull, then dagger. Girl with bull inside her stomach. Blood on the hooves. Hooves grounding the dirt underneath. Dagger. A sharp bite. A gigantic tooth breaking flesh and bone open. Keisha says we were just playing house. Foster mom leaves and says, tough titty. We end the night by saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All these poems are sad. Yeah, I do live in Amherst. It's really weird. I like have to walk up this long road to get to the bus. It's just really weird being like a black person around a bunch of nature, because like I like will walk past. Also, there's a huge golf course, and so I have like this shopping cart with all my groceries, which is like old school, like my mom used to have that with her little headband on or whatever with her groceries. And then I'm walking by with my shopping cart and my like headband, and people are like, "Four," like, you know, like, and I'm just like, this is so weird. So anyway, that's a little bit about me. This next poem is called First. And while I was in foster care, I had to go to church a lot, and so I wrote a poem about it. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. The pastor, the first lady, bishops, deacons, members, and friends, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. Pray for me. First, giving honor to my life, who is the head? The pastor, the first lady, bishops, deacons, members, and friends, Lord, I'm glad to be praying for me. First, giving honor to the first lady, whose life is a house of members and friends, deacons and bishops and pastors, pray for me. I'm glad, Godhead, to be in. First, me giving honor to me, who is the head of my life, pray, God. For the members, friends, deacons, bishops, I'm glad in my house, I'm glad in my life, I'm glad in my head. First, life. First, honor. First, glad. First, God. First, lady. First, pray. First, house. First, friends. First, members. First, pastor, deacons, and bishops. First, giving. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. Pray for me. Bubba calls all his drinks a taste. My foster mother cusses him out before he arrives, says, "This nigga don't want nothing but to drink up all my wine." But he gets to the door, she lets him in. Says, "How you doing? It's a nice day outside, ain't it?" How black am I? I don't know until he says it. He calls me a sin unconfessed, a dark thing staring. Even on Sunday mornings, is that what I am? I am a book of night. Each turn, a preacher's quickening. Each right response to a Sunday school question is my light. My answer is always Jesus. Will my skin change now? Will my darkness be turned to light? Bubba takes another sip. All I can do is sit there. My foster mother sits there. I want to slide in between his teeth and sink down to the pit of his stomach. I know that was sad. I don't know why I'm laughing at that. I'm just like, it's sad. I don't know why I did that. This next poem is called Broken Hymn. So in foster care, it was like mandatory that we went to church. It was like, you can't do nothing outside of the week unless you go to church. So it's like, if you don't go to church, your life is shot. Like, you don't have any hope to do anything else fun. So we always went to church, me and my foster sister, and always wondered about the things that happened there. So this song is called Broken Hymn. Lord, I'm running, trying to make 100 because 99 and a half won't do. I sing in the choir because I love the Lord, and ain't no hymnals in the pews because the songs are in our hearts. You memorize what you sing to the Lord. Lord, I sleep in red stains, the color church mothers say whores wear. I'm running, and I pray I must sparkle if I want God to accept me. I must be so clean God can touch me without getting a finger dirty. God says fast and pray. I tell God I'm hungry. I like to eat. My favorite food is barbecue wings with sauce sweeter than a hymn. Trying to make 100, I repent about my dreams of naked women and penises because 99 sins. Am I responsible? Inside me, images rise to the top of my head, a blood kite, no string to grab. I just turned the page really slowly. That wasn't the end, but thank you. Sorry. I was like, damn. It's like not the page I want to be on. And I don't even like try to bring this stuff to you. It's just all natural awkwardness. Okay. So I'm picking back up. I pretend I have no desires and angels are proud and a half. I see the most beautiful girl at my job, brown skin and hazel eyes. She comes up the stairs like she ascended. Her love smoke turns me in out like a message from the prophets playing in the dark swirl of my bones. I love God. I love God like Rest loves a nightmare child. Me, a girl waiting to sing the solo, picked because the choir director says, it's time for you to sing. Won't do. Will people believe me when I say I'm running? If my sinking isn't convincing, then it's not real. Loving God is just a way to transfer my desires and dreams into spiritualities and testimonies. I want to be so pure that my heart is holy. I want to be the perfect pitch singing soprano. I was like, man, like you get 15 minutes to read your chapbook, but my chapbook is like real short. It's like a blink, bam, like that's the chapbook. So I was like, man, 15 minutes, I might read the whole chapbook. But so there are some poems left in here. I'm gonna end on one of my favorite poems in here called Sayings, and I have a quote from a friend, dear friend of mine. Well, you know, just like they say, wherever two or three people are gathered together, there the hood is in the mist, Oompa. Whatever you do unto a black girl, you do it unto the Lord. Whoever gives a cup of cold water to a black girl gives it unto the Lord. Whoever cornrows a black girl's head and henceforth greases a scalp does it unto God. Whatsoever you do to one of us, you do to all of us. You do it unto the Lord. A black girl is a church, a flowing skirt, a white glove, a communion wafer, a handkerchief waving, a scary ass aisle to walk down and give your confessions to. Amen. Whatsoever you do, if you take, you take from the Lord. If you hurt, you hurt the Lord. Your flowers will not bloom. Your teeth will rot. Your voice crack and splinter into 1,000 pieces. Whoever gives unto a black girl shall reap a harvest. Many men will give unto your bosom, pressed down, shaken together, shall your cup runneth over it. Again and again and again. She'll blow on you and say, receive the Holy Ghost. She'll turn your peaks into valleys. All your children, community folk, re-reading them, the homies, haters, folks who owe you money, will call you blessed, blessed, blessed. Thank you so much for hearing all of us. And thank you for all these wonderful poets up here.
Let's give it up for all of our poets. What a great way to end the evening. I just want to remind you that there are books in the back to buy. If you want to take some of this magic home with you, do that. If you want to get it signed, they will be over here at this table, eager and ready to do so. eager? All right. Maybe not eager. They'll be happy to see you. They will sign your book. Remember to say hi to Mass Poetry on the way out. We'd love to chat with you about the stuff that's coming up for us. And just thank you for being here, y'all. Thanks for sharing the night.